Yudches Kislev, Wednesday the 14th of December, Rabbi Jonathan Rieti. Yosef was not alone in his Litoyim.
Good morning. Are you fully caffeinated? Please turn your phones off out of respect for those who are trying to sleep. Yosef was not alone in his Nisayon. This is the kickoff parasha where we're going to see a continuation of the episode of Yosef's life unfolding. At a mere 17 years old, he's zoche to dreams that contain nevuah. He shares those dreams with his brothers. They misinterpret his boasting as, oh no, here we go again. Avram Avinu had a Yishmael. Yitzhak had an Esav. And our father Yaakov has this Yosef, who has won our father over. How right the proof is, look how our father treats him. This extra special coat, long sleeve silk, clearly demonstrating that he's free from labor. And now he's trying to lord it over us. He's speaking Lashon Hara, not once but twice, instead of speaking directly to us, which is the mitzvah of Tehacha, to clarify if there's a misunderstanding, a miscommunication, some type of an offense. And instead he goes directly to our father, and they start to put these pieces together, and it looks as though one interpretation could validly be understood as, he's out to get us. And they pass them that he is a roidef, they're the nirdafim, and he's chayav misa. So it goes through three stages. First, an assassination attempt when he arrives in Shechem, a place, Muchen the Puranos, for a place, unfortunately, almost set aside for payback time. That's what Puranos really means. La Briot, bless you, Kuzante.
Thank you.
No charge. And now, they go to stage two, where, you know, instead of assassinating him, let's throw him into the bur and decide if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he wants him to die, he'll die, instead of us directly killing him. And then, stage three, they sell him. Either way, doesn't look good on the brothers. It was a misinterpretation, and they didn't understand that they were motivated actually by jealousy, and this only really became evident once they saw the severe extent of their father's mourning. They realized they made a terrible mistake. Yehuda couldn't face his brothers, leaves them, and goes through a whole episode which the Torah distracts, so to speak, from the story we began. And Yosef, in the meantime, goes down to Mitzrayim, where, at still the tender age of 17, he faces a Nisayon that no one at that age really wants to be faced with. And he succeeds. He's successful. He's successful to the point that he's thrown into jail. Not for 10 years. And in his one attempt, the Torah reports, of a minor, at least for us, hishtaglus, through a shaliach, the Sar HaMashkin, to mention to Paro that, you know, I'm not really here under just conditions, I've been unfairly accused, and that's considered way beyond the hishtaglus required of a tzaddik of his standing, and 2 more years is added to his sentence. So, that's pretty much the parasha. The question I want to address is a very specific midah of Yosef HaTzadik, one of the few that the Torah goes out of its way to give him that title. And that midah is that not only does he not look to hurt his brothers when he has the opportunity, but he looks to do good to them. Initially, it looks like he's taking vengeance. The Barbanel and others will show us that everything he did to cause them anguish was, in his mind, purely to help them demonstrate that they have done teshuva. How would that be manifest? Because if he could find a way to isolate Binyamin from the brothers, first of all bring Binyamin down, then isolate him, and see to what extent will the brothers, out of loyalty to their father and to this brother, put their lives on the line to save him. And sure enough, he does that. And he's not doing it for his own curiosity, Hasbun Shalom. This is purely because he knows the crime they committed for them was so severe, and Yosef was accurate, doesn't need me to give him a hesher on that, he was so accurate in that, that the Asara Harugi Malchus were part of the expiation, part of the kapara. The Arizal claims that on Tisha B'Av, we still mention the Asara Harugi Malchus, the 10 tzaddikim that died, as part of a decree to help be mechaper, atone for the terrible avera of attempted assassination and then kidnapping of their own brother. This has continued to Lederos. So Yosef was not wrong in trying his best in their lifetime to help them attain a full kapara. And what do we discover? That when he finally reveals himself, just one moment before he estimates they're about to kill him and then everything is going to be lost, he reveals himself. And they're in total shock. And after his initial attempt to appease them in proving his identity, how does he respond? What does he say? Now here's someone who attempted assassination, thrown into a pit. Medrash Haggadah tells us it was 20 amos deep. It was filled with scorpions and snakes. No ordinary situation would enable someone in being thrown into such a pit to survive, come out uninjured, and then sold by his brothers, and living in a nation that is promiscuous, rampant with promiscuity, at the age of 17 years old, and is unusually matzliach. The Torah calls him Ish Matzliach. Vayashem Es Yosef. Hashem was with Yosef in Mitzrayim. He was an unusually successful individual wherever he went. In the house of Potiphar, and then even in jail. And he had plenty of time, false accusation, thrown into a dungeon or jail, 10 years plus 2, 12 years, he had plenty of time to say to himself, how did I get here? Oh yeah, my brothers. How did I get here? Oh yeah, my brothers. And review, and rehash. And there were no analysts, there were no therapists to discuss this with. He could have easily had gone through this himself and spent a long time reviewing, rehashing, my brothers did this to me. It's because of my brothers. And then, in this a moment of total turnaround, where literally the same morning, he is an eved, a slave in a dungeon, and then by the later in the day, he's viceroy. Mishnah Lalach, second to only Paro himself. And now he has the opportunity when the brothers come. He really could have taken revenge. And yet, how does he appease his brothers? What's his response? And this is the midah I want to touch upon. And then we're going to look for other references where a Nisayon, we are not alone. Hashem is with us all along the way. Yosef responds, V'ata al te'atzfu. He says to his brothers, don't be depressed. Do not be angry in your eyes. That you have sold me here. Don't be upset, don't be angry. Why? Because the Almighty, the power behind all powers, El means power, Elohim is literally the plural, the correct translation, and therefore the real meaning is powers. Of course, we know that the taich in the word Elohim, the Torah deliberately puts Hashem's name right at the beginning. Hashem dictates the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, Bereshis Bara Elohim, in the beginning, powers created. Ramban points out it's El, means power, and Hem, them, meaning all the powers, them, all these powers are under one Kel, under one HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not going into all that now, but Lashon Kodesh is a perfect language. The Kodesh Baruch Hu deliberately introduced himself at the beginning of the Torah in a very, very dangerous language, It's Lashon plural. But we know that there's a Torah Shebaal Peh that gives us the meaning of every word. Shulchan Aruch, Siman Hey, tells us, what's the meaning of Elokim? Baal HaKoyches Kulam. You are the master of all forces. Takif, Baal HaYicholes, Baal HaKoyches Kulam. Yosef tells his brothers, you think you sold me here. Actually, in the bigger picture, it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elokim, the power behind all powers, who coordinated that I would be here, Lemichya, in order to sustain an entire nation and yourselves. He repeats himself. It was Hashem who sent me here. And if that's not enough, the brothers are not fully appeased. What's the proof? Because right after Yaakov Avinu dies, the brothers are still chayshed. They still suspect. You know why Yosef didn't take revenge on us? Because our father was still alive. Now is payback time. And they fabricate a tzivui, an instruction that was never given, and they send a shaliach to Yosef on their behalf, saying that Yaakov instructed that Yosef should forgive them for what they did to him. And Yosef breaks down in front of them. Right at the end of Parshas Vayichi, and now he repeats himself. Language very powerful. Vayirache Yosef, ki meis avihem, they saw, oh, our father's dead now. Vayomru lai, vayomru, lu yishtemenu Yosef. If, you know what, maybe Yosef is still holding in his anger against us. Vahashev yashiv lanu, es kol arashe gemalu nosai. Now it's payback time. He's going to return all the evil that we paid him. V'yitzav el Yosef leimah, they instructed through a shaliach, avicha tziva lifnei moisei leimah, and then he, please forgive us for what we did to them, what we did to you. Kai taimu le Yosef, anasa na pesha achecha b'chatasam, please lift off the avera we did to you, ki ragi mulucha, they did terrible things to you. He started crying. Yosef starts crying. They fall before him. And what does Yosef say to them? Yosef, Al tira'u, do not be afraid. Ki atachas Elokim ani, I am under Hashem. If I was saved by Elokim, powers, and you, all 10 of you, were not successful in putting out my light, extinguishing my neshama, how can I extinguish yours? I'm 1 against 10. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's the one in control. Can't you see? V'atem, and you, hashavtem alai ra, your intent was negative, it was evil. Elokim hashav elatoiva. But Hashem had a whole different cheshbon. L'man asek hayim azeh l'achyos amrav. And then he continues, please don't be afraid. So not only does he not do, they take revenge, but he is good to them. What was his secret? How did he do this? How did he manage to overcome even his own Messiah? And we've got just a couple of clues. The Torah tells us in this week's parasha, Vahi Hashem is Yosef. Hashem was with Yosef. Vahi Ish Matzliach, he was very successful. If the Torah calls him an Ish Matzliach, whoa, he must have been really, really successful. If you think about it, he made Paroi the wealthiest man in world history up until that point. He was an exceptionally successful person. How did he do that? What was his secret? There are very few hints that really open up for us what is the secret behind standing up to a difficult Messiah. Whether it's in marriage, whether it's with my kids. Anyone who's got teenagers knows why some animals eat their young. No, marriage, it's not easy. It's a real Messiah. I once met a gentleman in Kutcher's. It's a country club in North New York. So the average age in the audience is about 400 people in that particular audience. The average age was about 107. There was one gentleman, actually, 104. They asked him, what's special about your age? He said, no peer pressure. But there was one gentleman in the audience that I wanted to know. I'm married 63 years. And marriage is not a word, it's a sentence. Now, that's pure humour, has no reflection on reality whatsoever, but nevertheless, sometimes marriage is a Nisayan. Children can be a slight Nisayan. Getting along with one's immediate family, with one's mother-in-law, with one's father-in-law, with our brother-in-law, sister-in-law. Life is not easy. It's one long Nisayan. This world is not called Olam HaNisyonos. It's called Olam HaNisayan. From the moment we're born till 120 years, it's one long Nisayan. Every chelik is part of the same Nisayan. What was Yosef's secret? That he became not just Oymed b'Nisayan, with an Isha that was exceptionally attractive, and had some sort of Chazal used the lashon Ruach HaKodesh. She had some sort of premonition that through a union with Yosef would be born children that they would. She didn't cop that she didn't have real Ruach HaKodesh, that it was referring to her adopted daughter, Osnat, who indeed was the only Jewish girl in Mitzrayim, didn't even go to Beis Yaakov, and she ends up being Mizavik with Yosef, and it's through Yosef that Menashe and Ephraim were born. So it was a not clear vision of the future that she had, but nevertheless, that's pretty tempting. And yet, he was Oymed b'Nisayon, not easy. What was his secret? So Torah tells us, Vayara Adonav, he was so successful that even Potiphar, who Chazal tell us was not a regular individual, he was an individual that had eyes on Yosef. He was not a clean mind. Vayara Adonav ki Hashem itoy. Potiphar, how does the Torah testify? The Torah testifies that Hashem was with Yosef. How does he know? It's not clean mind. Where does he get such a clarity from? V'chol Hashem who I said, whatever Yosef did, Hashem matzlich biyatoy. Hashem made him successful. Whatever was in his hand. Medrash gives an example why whatever was in his hand, because on an occasion Potiphar would ask him for a drink, water. And Yosef would say, here's water. And then Potiphar changed his mind and asked for wine. And Yosef, without exchanging the cup for a different drink, said, here's wine. And Potiphar's confused. How did he do that? So he's wondering, maybe this man is a machashef. He's some sort of wizard. I mean, someone had to have trained Dumbledore. It's Harry Potter. Herschel Potterich. Sorry. So, all Potiphar could see was that Yosef was mumbling to himself. He was talking to himself all the time. And he said, how did you do that? How did you take water, wine, water, whatever I ask you for? Hashem maslech biyadoi. Your God is making you successful in your hand. And what did he see? What is Vayar Adonav? How did his master see? What did he see? And Rashi, quoting Medrash, tells us, Shem Hashem Shagur Bafiv. The name of Kadosh Baruch Hu was on his lips. And what was he asking? Rebbein Shalom, help me to be matzachin, help me to find favor in the eyes of my master. Because halachically, this man bought me. He owns me. And while I'm under his mastery, I have a mitzvah to live b'nei manos, faithfully, trustworthy in all my dealings. And so he was constantly asking Hashem that he should be matzliach, do everything honestly and with ne'emanus, and to be matzachim in the eyes of his master. And he told his master so, and his master saw that whatever he gave Yosef, he was unusually successful. And so he saw that Yosef's mighty, almighty Elohim was with him wherever he went. That was his secret. He would not let Hashem be out of the equation. You're with me in this Nisayon. Where would it take me? I have no idea. Did he know he would become Sheni LeMelech? I don't think so. He knew there was a Nevuah that his brothers would eventually bow down to him. How that would come about? The point I'm bringing out, and this I'm going to expand on the few minutes that are available, is that this was and still is the master key to, I would arguably claim, every individual in not just Jewish history, even non-Jewish history, who was unusually successful, was not because they had the best family support, most amazing financial security, incredible health. What we'll discover is that almost every individual, and certainly in our history, the Abbas, the Imahis, went through one Nisoyan after another of one long Nisoyan that did not enable them to become great despite the adversity, but rather because of what they went through. Anyone you take. Avraham Avinu, betrayed by his father Terach to Nimrod. You go to a therapist, not you personally, you know, and if I start complaining about my father, my mother betrayed me. And you know, betrayal is probably the deepest pain that of a parent. That level of pain is so difficult to undo and remove. The trust that one wants to have in a parent, and to be betrayed by a parent, very deep. Avraham Avinu is betrayed by his father, thrown into a furnace, goes through Rav, he goes through a famine. His loyal wife, Sarah Imenu, goes through all the first nine Nisyonos, some may argue even the tenth as well. She goes through this, she was 18 when she married Avraham Avinu, was 28. Avraham Avinu was 28. He came out of Ur Kasdim when he was 70. He was thrown into the dungeon 10 years before when he first refused to bow to Nimrod. He went through Gehenna on earth. Sarah Imenu, barren, 90 years. Takes on a co-wife. I mean, even if you could afford a second wife. Which wife would take on a second, you know, an offer to a husband? That's very brave, and we're still paying the price of her idea. Yishmael. Nevertheless, it was still Baruch HaKodesh that was offered. They went through one sign after the other. Sarah Menu, barren 90 years, kidnapped not once, but twice. Takes on a co-wife, goes through at least nine Nisyonos with Avraham Avinu. And yet the Torah, amazingly, in describing her life, Vayuchai Sarah, these are the days of the life of Sarah, and you look there in Perikav Gimel, and the Lashon is very, very strange. Vayuchai Sarah, Mea Shana V'Isim Shana V'Sheva Shanim, Shnechai Sarah. One second. You open up telling me, this is going to be the life of Sarah, and in the same pasuk you conclude, Shnechai Sarah, these are the years of the life of Sarah. You just introduced me telling me that it's going to be. So Rashi pounces on this, quoting the Medrash, and shows us it makes no difference which chelik of your life you look at, of her life you look at. If she were here standing, being interviewed, and you asked her, Sarah Meni, could you tell us what type of life you had? Do you know what her answer would be? She would not say, oh, it was really hard. My husband, when we first came to Eretz Canaan, it was a famine, and I went through that famine with him. And then I was kidnapped by Paro, and then Abimelech ate a month. I was barren 90 years. And you know, and all that would be accurate and true, and you and I would say, yeah, we know, the Torah says so, and it's made it. And yet, if you interviewed Sarah, and asked Sarah, could you give us a synopsis, just a quick conclusion, what was life like? What was your life like? What's her answer? Kula! Shavin Latayva! They were all equally good! Sarah, I mean, you know, denial. It's not a place in Egypt so when you don't agree to something. Like that. So, no, I mean, how do you deny the Torah is made that you went through all these Nisyonos? How can you say? Rashi tells us, quoting Medrash Rabbah, Kulan Shavim Mateba, her entire life is equally good. Because the Nisyonos that we go through is not the purpose of this world. How will I respond to that Nisyon? What will come out of me? How will the Nisyon shape me? And the answer to that question is, depends on me. The very language of tsar, which has not only the meaning of adversity, suffering, difficulty, endurance of imitation. Tsar is exact two-letter root. Tsar also means shape. Yeretzer is a designer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a designer. We design ourselves. And how do we do that? Yeah, the tsar, the difficulties that we go through, shape us. How do they shape us? By revealing us to ourselves. They squeeze us not to hurt us. Hashem's not in the business of hurting. He's in the business of squeezing. What's he squeezing us for? To see what comes out. Does Hashem need to see what comes out? Did he know in advance what will be the result of Avraham Avinu's 10 Nisyonos? Of course! So who were the Nisyonos for? Did Avraham Avinu know in advance how great he could become? The answer is no, we don't know. So how will we ever know? I'll get squeezed by my mother-in-law, father-in-law, brother-in-law, sister, wife, child, grandchildren, neighbour, co-worker, boss, client, partner. Did that cover everybody? Caruso. Neighbour. Hashem is not in the business of hurting. He's in the business of squeezing. Hashem created an olam and soil to squeeze us to see what will come out. So that when I'm squeezed, I get to see me. The shyness reveal us to ourselves. And we get to shape ourselves in consequence. We get to choose what will come out of me. And Sarah Maynard said, yes, I went through all that, but you know what? That's what made me great. Sarah Schneera. I was lucky to be at a keva just a couple of weeks ago on a Motzi Shabbos. Married not once, twice. Barren, never had children. She could have easily said, I've got a great idea. I've got a vision of starting a whole chinuch system for Klal Yisrael. And she goes to one rabbi after another, rejected, rejected, rejected. No, Sarah Schneera, you're a seamstress. Let go. You're a simple lady. You messed up first, second marriage. Didn't work out. You never had any kids. Throw the towel in. Rabbi Yisrael, I don't know why you did this to me. I just accept my lot in life. No! She would not let go. Sarah Schneera is arguably the greatest individual in the past 100 years that affected Klal Yisrael. Those are not my words. Moshe Chevroni, Rosh Yiv of Chevron, said that at a bris mil of a grandson in front of the Einikul, the Einikul of the Chavetz Chaim, the sons of Rav, and several other great individuals. He said, yeah, Sarah Schneera had the greatest impact in the past 100 years. And she could have easily thrown the towel in. Yosef Tzadik could have easily said, Moshe, this is how you repay me for my loyalty to you? Because I was only been assigned, you throw me into jail? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years? 12 years? No. Hashem wants me to know that no matter what I go through, I get a choice to talk to Hashem and ask Him, Rebbe Shalom, help me through this. You're with me, I'm not alone. Yitzhak Avinu, Yaakov Avinu, every single one of them. Rivka, daughter of Besua, he was a sick man. That was not his real name. Medrash God tells us, the Torah tells you his name was Besua, but it really wasn't. It was a play on his name because he had invited every Besula. That was a play on the name because he was owner of enormous territory. Anyone who married had to visit him the night before their marriage. That's what a sick man fathered Rivka. Her brother, Lavan, a gangster, a trickster. He makes the godfather look like Winnie the Pooh. Lavan was such a lowlife. And yet, Rivka Imenu was the result of such a terrible, sordid background. And the answer is, what we go through gives us choices. Who will I become because of what I've been through, not just despite? And that's a choice that we all have. And every single one of our individuals, Moshe Rabbeinu, Yosef Tzadik, David HaMelech, they all went through very difficult nisyonos and paved the way that in our genes we have the ability that Hashem is with us. The only question is, do I recognize that? I close. There's a secretary, new secretary, tells the boss as he comes back from a power breakfast at some hotel. I said, any messages while I was up? Yeah. Your doctor called with the results of your test. Oh, good. What did he say? Well, there's good news and there's bad news. Which do you want to hear first? The good news. The good news? You're going to die in 2 days. The good news? I'm going to die in 2 days? What's the bad news? The bad news? He called 2 days ago and was too afraid to give you the message. As long as we're alive, that means Hashem hasn't given up hope that we can change ourselves. It's never too late. It's later than I think, but it's never too late to change. It's the only person Hashem put me in this world to change. And in the chus of us being omed in our own nisyonos, may we see the coming of Shem from here. Amen. Amen.